regularly in this world, in this dunya, we see and witness a reality on a regular basis, consistent basis, you can even say on a daily basis sometimes. And this is a big reality that we see, that we witness, that a person who has died, we hear about his death. The news of his death reaches us. And obviously, when that news reaches us of that person's death, then it affects us. It affects every individual. And however much link you had with that person, or association you had with that person, or if that person had a status, then you will be affected by the news of their death. And a certain emotion will come onto your heart. There's sadness. There's a shock sometimes hearing the news. The more you were close to that person, you had a connection with that person, a relationship with a person, or a friendship with a person who died, then the more you will have the sadness in your heart. But sadness cannot save anything or prevent a death or change anything. And eventually we have to accept, and the conditions around us, the environment has to accept, that it had to happen. And khair, it's not a small thing. It is such a reality that if we accept or not, or want to know about it or not, or aware of it or not, today was his turn or her turn, tomorrow will be our turn. Every human has to depart from this world. Maut is a big reality. Death is a big reality. When we hear about death, then the scene changes. The situation changes. For example, somebody who's about to pass away, and or if he's passed away, then they are preparing after the death. They are giving the ghusl, the cleaning and washing the person who has passed away. And lots of people are included in the ghusl, involved in the ghusl. Then a fragrance, nice fragrance, is applied to the deceased, and with new cloth sheets, he is wrapped. The deceased person is wrapped, and that color that was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the white color, that cloth is wrapped around that person. And when that person is departing from the dunya, he will be wrapped, or she will be wrapped in that color of cloth. And then very nicely, carefully, delicately, that person who has died, the deceased, is brought to the house of Allah, and people start to gather, people who knew him or her or didn't know him or her, and there's a lot of thawab, reward, for attending the funeral prayer. And this is the time to say bye-bye, goodbye, bid farewell to the deceased. Then salah is prayed and janazah is prayed, the funeral prayer is prayed, and there's a lot of people, there's a bit of a buzz, there's a people gathered together. And then from the funeral prayer, people who prayed for him, then this dhikr is done and dua is done for that person. And this scene that I have mentioned and just communicated to you, no person can change this situation. Everyone who dies goes through these phases. Whether he is the king of kings, the biggest leader, the wealthiest from everybody, or high status, rank and file in the dunya, he is a mufakkir Islam, the speaker of deen, muhaddith or ghawth or kutub or wali Allah, or famous personality in the world, a scientist, a technologist, a professor. He's achieved many things, researched. He's so high in rank that he doesn't even need to be introduced to people. And he is the owner of lands and glory in the world, so called. He is the Malik, owner of natural resources and lands and assets. But nothing can change this scene. This is the same scene for every individual. Whether it's a person living in a mud hut, in a shack, a straw shack, or a person living in a palace. Everyone has to go through this phase. The same tariqah, the same method, the same death, the same ghusl, the same running around, up and down, the same ghusl, the same libas will be shrouded around everyone who dies. Everyone's running around. Where are you going? Where are you going? People leave their cities, their homes, their towns, and they're going towards a certain location. Is this a great famous person? Where are you going to take him? Where are you traveling to with this person who's passed away? And eventually, so is you leave the locality, the town and the houses, and you go out and you arrive to the graveyard where there are other graves. Brothers, is this time going to come or not? Yes, it's going to come. Everyone will go there to a place which is quiet, serene and still. Where are you taking him, the deceased person? Where are you taking him? To his home, to his real home. This individual is going. Have you seen when you go to the graveyard, to the real home? He had a big home, a real home. And who's going there? That's the true home, the real home, the big home. And that person whose home is there is going to the home. The person who had assets in the world, big homes and palaces, who was owner of palaces and mansions, or sat on hoards of wealth, or had big semi-detached home. And even the poor person's going there, the rich person's going there. What is that home? For every one of us, it's the same home, the destination. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. For every one of us, there's no differentiation. There will be no splitting. The Malik of that home will reach to that home. He's leaving everything in the world. Such beds and mattresses, carpets, lush and comfortable furniture, ease and comfort, just for a while. He used to sit or lie down on his bed. If there was a bit of a stain due to something on the bed, he wouldn't lie down there. If there was a deficiency in his blanket, he wouldn't use that blanket. If there was something that was left or right by a few degrees, he wouldn't accept it in the world. And which home is that person going to now? Allahu Akbar. He's reached home. He's reached close to his home. The deceased body is now reaching to the graveyard. You go there, the king's home, the minister's home, the rich person's home, the poor person's home, the millionaire's home, the billionaire's home, same home. So change something. He's all his life, he's earned money. It should be a better condition of grave for him, isn't it? If he's wealthier, put some air conditioning in the grave so he can save himself from the heat of the grave. He had a lot of money. Brothers, let's wire up his home. Let's give him some electricity, some lights, or give him a source of water. No. No. Have you seen until today? Nobody has these resources, these facilities in the grave. That's it. You dig the earth and make the home. For every single person has the same home, and he is then inserted into the home. And just not like that, how is that deceased person lowered? There's no sign. He's no sign of his physical body after that moment. The soil and the mud and the stones are put over that person's body. His body disappears from the face of the earth. And according to the deen of Islam, there's no sign of that person's body or living. You don't even know where the king has gone. Does this happen or not? Tell me. Does this happen or not? Until today, nobody could say after death and going into the grave that how decorated was his home. Jahangir, who had such big lands, Akbar the Great, so-called Sikandar-e-Azam, Alexander the Great, Qarun, big personalities, big prime ministers, presidents, kings, owners of lands, countries, they're going as well. There's a line, and nobody can come out of that line. There's a line, isn't there? There's a queue. Everyone's waiting. Tell me somebody. Tell me, what palace is this that you've left in the world to go to the grave? Where has he gone? Where's that individual? Is this not the case? Until today, no one can mention this transfer of location. What is going on? What has happened in the grave after being buried? What happened to that person? How comfortable was his home? At least tell us something, because we're going to go there as well, so I can prepare, so I can have a good abode after dying, so that I'm going to have the same destination. I'm going to be lowered into the grave. And if I know that something's about to occur, I start to plan, prepare, make a list, start research. I'm traveling somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. Let's find out, where am I going? What should I do? What should I take? What will happen there? So please tell me, your people who've passed away, what happened to you, so we can prepare. To this extent, the whole world has no connection. They don't pay attention what's going on in that grave, in the home that we're all going to go to. We've discarded this topic from the first day. No. When somebody tells us, prepare. Have we tried? What happens in the grave after being buried, when everyone leaves and departs? What happens? And after getting tired, we've left that research. We have no regard. But only one personality could have told us this, and did tell us this. Sadiq Masduq, Nabi Al-Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told us what happens in that grave. Allahu Akbar. He told us. He stated, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I have seen no worse destination and location and abode than this, the grave. I have not seen no worse abode or place of stay than the grave. Now you think, now let me think. Let us think. What a great news and awareness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has shared with us. He has given us this news, communication, that a worse place, a more dangerous place, a more place of fear, I have not seen anything more than the grave. And imagine what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw on the Mi'raj, on the journey, the ascension. He saw Jannah, Jahannam, punishments. He saw the scenes, the punishments. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have not seen a worse place than the grave. And what happens in the grave? Such a bad scene that one Sahabi, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if I did not have this feeling that you will stop going to the graveyard and stop burying the people, then I would have done dua that Allah at least show the voice, the noise, the coming, the clamor within the grave. Allah show that azab, that punishment. It is so dangerous and fearful. Azab that occurs in the grave, conditions that the person's passing through, so severe that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if I was to communicate to you what is happening in the grave, or if you were to hear, then you would not lower the people into the graves and do the burials. So I didn't ask for that dua from Allah. My brothers, in that hole in the earth, what will we take with us? Think. Let us think. What becomes adab? Why does the punishment come? Why is it difficult in the grave? What do we take with us? What will we not take with us? We will take what we earned with our hands. Amal will go, not rayal. Amal, those same amal that we are passing the time, we're backbiting with people, we're lying to somebody, we are slandering somebody, we're belittling somebody, we're ridiculing somebody, we are ending the regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all gathering, hoarding, and gathered up, piling up. When we're lowered into the grave, that whole hoard, that pile of deeds falls in with us and starts to take effect. The reality of our deeds. So how great a message, Allahu Akbar, that a big reality Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, communicated with us, and we're negligent. We are not aware. Is this not a shock? Is this not worthy of surprise? There's a hadith. The meaning of this hadith is that if we were to realize, and we do know, if we are to know that I'm about to die, I'm about to be lowered into the grave, men, women, females, males, sick people, old people, young people, youthful people, it is a shock that all of these people, when we have this yaqeen, and even then, despite this, we are negligent, we are lazy, about which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us great communication, great sharing of news, that this is important, urgent, a very bad, bad punishment. If you were to realize it, to see it, hear it, you would stop going to the graveyards, to bury people, to lower people to the graves. And how many people have we lowered into the grave? We go to the graveyard, and we will also go into the grave. As Umm al-Mu'mineen, Amma Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has defined and laid out clearly the phase of death and the hereafter in the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after every salah, used to ask refuge from the azab of the qabr. Look at the importance of this. As Aisha radiyallahu anha narrates this hadith, that so much importance about the azab, this ta'lim that Rasulullah SAW gives us, that after every salam, as Aisha radiallahu anha says, that Rasulullah SAW used to do dua seeking refuge from the azab of the qabr, of the grave, the punishment. What a big, big learning. My brothers, what preparation do I have? Do we have? What do we do from morning till evening and ongoing? What do? We leave here? What we're running around for, we're going to leave here. Do we do fikr for that grave? For that ditch, Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Bashir and Nadir, and he unraveled the realities, and on top of that, he unraveled the good news. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sketched out the total routes that a person's going to take after death, and the hairs could stand on end when you hear this. Those people whose hearts are soft, and they are people who want to understand the truth and reality, all night long they hear these things and they cry about the, out of fear of the azab, the punishment of the qabr, like you will have read and heard. Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, Khalifat Rasulullah, when he used to walk past the graveyard, his beard would be wet with the tears. This is how much he would be afraid of and concerned. His heart was made, prepared. The more the heart is prepared and fertile, it cries and is prepared. Those hearts that are hard like stone and rocks, they have no effect. They will only have effect when they will pass through the phases after death. because their hearts are sealed like the rock. But those whose hearts are soft, who have fear of Allah in them, and when they hear a little bit about death, or they hear or experience in the newspaper or some news, it shocks them, it shakes them, because their heart's prepared. The person who communicates the news and the one who hears the news is shocked, trembling. Look at this difference in the conditions. So if we were to get the clue, would we not try? That we would also try to save ourselves from these, the distress and the pain and the severity after death? Of course we would. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, he was Bashir, that if I am to tell you an action, that the scene will be turned on its on the up 180 degrees, that the total scene of fear, punishment, severity, that when you're lowered into the grave, it will become such a beautiful home for you, that until the last that you will go to in the journey, your whole qabr will become cool. Say subhanallah loudly. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the universe. He came as rahmah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything he said he did was rahmah for the universe, for mankind, for creatures. He didn't come to give speeches or difficulty to people. Whenever he mentioned an action, amal, deeds, wazifa, lessons, prescription of deeds, he didn't give it with severity or hardship, burden. No, he gave it with ease and beautiful explanation. He said, I know what you don't know. I have that news that you don't have. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my sunnah, grab hold of my sunnah. You don't know that little sunnah so-called, small sunnah so-called, how great success lies in wait for you for practicing these sunnahs. What maqams they will take you to, these sunnahs. My Hazrat Rahmatullah said, such maqams are going to come, severe obstacles, problems are going to arise after death. We don't know. Such tests, challenges, and hurdles, and obstacles are going to come for us. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Ask that person who is about to pass away, who is injured, who is sick. All the drama finishes, the fussiness finishes, all of the requirements and requests of the dunya finish. There's a person who's about to pass away and fussiness. Does he feel like he wants more of the dunya? Ask that person whose death is at his throat. Ask that person. And this event will pass through everybody. Everybody. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that remember, whatever he said was ease for the humanity, was beautiful tonic for the humanity. There was no statement or practice of Rasulullah that was hardship for the humanity. Rasulullah said, consider and practice every sunnah of mine, that you cannot imagine the hardships that my sunnah will solve and make you overcome those hardships. Today, we avoid the sunnah, we reject the sunnah, we don't think it's important. We rather make effort to prove it's not important, the sunnah. We think we're not going to get azab, punished. Oh, we're not going to get azab for not practicing sunnah. Oh, leave it. Oh, get away from the sunnah. Tunaful. Are these important or not important? Is there punishment for these sunnah or not? And on this basis, oh, servants of Allah, think. Maybe these tunaful will change your life and will take you to Jannah, to paradise, and transform your destiny. Maybe you had no other deeds, and due to these tunaful, Allah Ta'ala permitted us to pray, me to pray, you to pray. In this whole life of yours, the deeds you accrued, maybe these tunaful is what will make you cross the bridge and into paradise. That you are thinking at this time it's not important. Oh, is it needed? Is it necessary? Shall I do it or not? No, it's not fard. It's tunaful salah. Is there punishment if I leave it? Is this sunnah? Is this nafil? Is this mustahab? Do I have to practice this? Is this not our basis, our gauge of practice? Every one of this of us has this basis and understanding of deen. What sunnah? It's not important. Who says sunnah is important? Where is it written? Show me where is it written. It's not important. We don't have to follow it. Okay, fine. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his statements, his deeds, and this is your belief and stance on the sunnah. He, Rasulullah was raham, mercy, guidance, true reality and light. He said, you don't know what is my sunnah. He opened the secret. So he made it clear for us. The sunnah is so beautiful and beloved that the sinner, most sinful person, if he practices the sunnah, he will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beloved. And we say it's not important. We say there's no status of sunnah. It's not necessary. Why should we practice it? Tell me. Look at the maqam, the status. Rasulullah said, don't think my sunnah is not important. It's insignificant. It's minor. It's not fard, compulsory. Look what the sunnah practice will make you. It will transform you. It will elevate you. Allah, if you follow my sunnah, Rasulullah said, Allah will make you his beloved. Is this not in the Quran? Surah Al-Imran? The verse is there, clear cut, crystal. We should dive into the sunnah practice. Not one action in our life should be away from the sunnah. Then we realize in this person's heart is the fear of the qabr, of the grave. I've narrated three hadiths today, shared three hadiths. There are so many events and waqiyats and stories and hadith about the grave. In the Quran there are events, in the hadith there are events communicated about the grave, and I've just shared three today. And this is the basharat, the news that Rasulullah shared us, that shall I not tell you a deed, that if you practice it, the whole seal will, the scene will transform. The same grave that we're afraid of, about which we read and hear the azab, the punishment, that the ribs will overlap and the bones will be compressed and crushed, and that same qabr will, no one will hear us, and it will be tight, very tight. It will be difficult and there will be punishments. But Rasulullah said, I give you good news. Shall I change the scene of the darkness and the severity of the grave? Shall I transform that situation for you, O believers? How did he change the scene? He said that scene will totally evaporate. The punishment will evaporate. The hardship will evaporate. And when you go in the grave to muntaha, to the end point, your qabr will open up. It will broaden. You'll smell the fragrance of paradise. You will have carpets of paradise, fragrance from paradise. You'll see the palaces and the kingship and the leadership you left in the world. It wasn't even like dust to the beautiful things you'll get in the grave. Who's telling us this? Sadiq al-Masduq, the honest Siddiq, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose every word was haqq and truth. There's no way that any change can come to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Reality upon reality. But we don't have yaqeen today. We don't have certainty today. If I have yaqeen, will I not practice this? Would I not run to this? Will we do it? Inshallah. Such a great piece of news, such a great communication, such a great method, such a great, you can say, approach that Rasulullah is giving to us here. Framework, methodology, and it's coming from Rasulullah. And Allah said, whatever my Nabi says, he doesn't speak of his own accord, rather it is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah said, do you want me to transform the scene of darkness and pain and hardship in the grave to a beautiful scene of ease and rewards? Rasulullah said, then listen, that deed that will save a person most from the punishment of the grave is the dhikr of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Rasulullah said, there's no deed that will save a person more from the punishment of the grave than the dhikr of Allah. And that is the blessed statement from the blessedness of Rasulullah. What a great statement. What a great hadith. But we have no khawf. We don't have fikr. Who's worried about the grave today? Is anyone concerned? Would we remain concerned? No, because if we did dhikr, Rasulullah said, there's no deed greater than the dhikr of Allah, or better or bigger, that will save us from the punishment. Ask a question, how many have yaqeen on this hadith and do dhikr of Allah? The pious predecessor said that Shaitan, the wretched Iblis, he stops the believer most from which action? From the dhikr of Allah. Look at the hadith. Look at the scriptures. Look at the writings. Look at the Quran. That bears witness to this. The Shaitan, what action does he stop? Try to stop people from most. The action that he tries people to deviate people from most is dhikr of Allah. You can be bayat with a sheikh, go to a wali of Allah, do everything. A people who came from their home to the gathering, they'll have had needles and thorns in their feet. Oh, do we need to go? They're lazy people who are regular in dhikr. They've got obstacles. Oh, it's alright, I don't need to go today. Oh, they have excuses. Why? Because Shaitan knows that if this insan individual goes to do dhikr, then he'll be successful and it will give him ease in the grave. And I don't want this. So he takes us, deviates us away. He whispers in our ears. Remember this, the Shaitan works hardest today to stop us, prevent us from doing dhikr. When you start to go to do dhikr, or intend to go to do dhikr, or learn dhikr, or go to those majalis or gatherings, or you want to sit with the people who are dhakir, who teach you dhikr, who are the keys to dhikr of Allah. This hadith. That some people are what? They are the keys to the dhikr of Allah. They are the keys. Not padlock. We'll run to the padlocks and not the keys. Go to the keys. What do keys do? They unlock the padlocks of Jannah. What else do they do? Yes? Why don't you go to the key that unlocks the padlocks to Jannah? And what force stops us to go to those gatherings? To those people? Makes us run away from those gatherings? Or those people or individuals who teach dhikr? The majalis of dhikr? This is hadith I'm sharing with you. Who are those people? The shaitan. Shaitan attacks the believer the most from going to the dhikr of Allah. So when this happens, When this opportunity happens, you're being attacked and whispered in your ears and influenced not to do dhikr. You don't want to go to do dhikr. You're trying to make excuses to do dhikr. There are barriers and hurdles and obstacles. Don't stop. But understand, this is that same point that the pious predecessors has taught us, the shayateen. They are sharpening their tools and stopping us from going to dhikr. And understand this, that this is that place, this is that action of dhikr, that amal that Rasulullah said from his blessed statement, that this deed will become ease for us, smooth in our grave. Come laziness, come negligence, but there is the opposition to that, which is dhikr of Allah. There's a dua for this. Hazrat Tanbi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hakim al-Ummat, and he gave the answer. Allah Ta'ala gave an answer to this. The more shaitan tries to prevent you and give hurdles to dhikr, Allah Ta'ala said that there's an answer to this. That what do? That in no way, every way and form and condition and manner you do dhikr of Allah, it will be accepted. So that shaitan whispers, no, don't do dhikr like this, it's not accepted. Oh, it's innovation, it's not correct. But the teaching is, doesn't matter how you do dhikr, without wudu, in the shopping center, standing, lying down, walking, sitting, coming, going, however you do dhikr of Allah, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's accepted. That's it. No preconditions. I'm not saying this, the pious predecessors tell us this. So it's so easy to fight off shaitan, the devil, that whatever restrictions come in front of us, obstacles. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever whispering of shaitan comes to us, he tries to deviate us. Oh, you got to eat now, you're hungry. How are you going to run your shop? You got to open your shop, close your shop. What will happen then? Doesn't matter. Any amal, whatever deed shaitan presents, there's no deed greater than dhikr of Allah. Because we want reality. What do we want? We want to be saved from the adab, from the punishment of the grave, and that's it. So we want the grace deed. It's such a severe place. Such a severe place, my brothers. And it's the first phase, the first phase after death. And if you're successful in the grave, then the rest of the journey will become easy. So where will dhikr of Allah help us? In the first phase after death, when we are thrown into the grave, into the ditch, in the earth. Allahu Akbar. Due to the barakah of the dhikr, what does the grave say? The grave says, marhaba, marhaba, O deceased person. Welcome, welcome. You have come to me. Now see how I treat you nicely, says the grave. You, on top of me, remembered Allah on the face of the earth, on the crust of the earth. You didn't forget Allah then. Now you've come to me into the grave. How can I forget you? Ah, fansakum fadhkuruni yadhkurkum, Allah said in the Quran. You didn't forget Allah on the earth, where there was dunya, glitter, glow, restrictions, shayateen, and nafs and desires. And you didn't forget Allah then. So how will Allah forget you today in your grave? Allah won't forget you. The qabr is saying this. The grave is saying this and will say this. And see how I treat you, I'm inhabitant of me. And when you're lowered into the grave, from that day to the final day, the doors of paradise will be opened. And then the doors are opened, the grave is decorated. It's stated that the fragrance, the beautiful smells of Jannah. Because remember, dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Every kalima, every verse we recite is full of fragrance. And what fragrance is that? It's not a normal fragrance. It's not the amber and the fragrances of the earth. It is the fragrance of paradise that is being recited and earned. What is the reason? Because this kalima, when you recite it, it runs up. It climbs. When you recite the verse of dhikr of the kalimats, then that verse starts to ascend, go up, la ilaha illallah. The angels grab hold of that kalima and they take that verse, that recitation, up to the heavens, and it keeps on going up, ascending with the fragrances, not with the fragrance of the world, with the fragrance of paradise in dhikr. So here Allah Ta'ala has concealed everything, we can't see the reward. And soon as a person goes into the grave, the dhakir, the same fragrance from his kalamat of dhikr of Allah that he recited, the fragrances of paradise, everything then comes back into his grave. Should we do dhikr or not now, I ask? May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, the ability, the capability. These few words relating to dhikr of Allah came to my mind, so that we can increase our encouragement and desire and passion. Brothers, let's not be lazy in dhikr of Allah. We are weak. We are weak. I speak about myself. We are all sin. I'm a sinner. I'm not capable. A sinner upon sin. From the tongue, I'm weak. From my eyes, I'm weak. From my hands, I'm weak. There's no deed to my name. I speak about myself. I have nothing. But I have one assistant, and a very easy assistant, that grab hold of the dhikr of Allah, and maybe I'll have some success. I have no other deed. I have no other deeds, no other tools. How will I be saved after death? And that's why I thought, and I went to the Wali of Allah, and I became, and I went to his company, and I learned dhikr of Allah. That I knew that if I keep on doing dhikr, and he taught me this, that one day I will have the success, maybe, from the dhikr of Allah. And who's given us this guarantee? Allah is giving the guarantee. And the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From His hand is the guarantee, from His blessed stem is the guarantee. We have total hope, total certainty, yaqeen, insha'Allah, that we will do dhikr, and when we pass away, that our grave will become a portion of paradise. So with love and passion, do dhikr of Allah. Allah has given us a great reward, great reward. We don't know, will we be able to come tomorrow or not? Next week, next Thursday, will we be able to come or not? Friday night, will we be able to come or not? Whenever you come to the assembly of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr, the pious predecessors said, whenever Allah gives the tawfiq, the ability to do a good deed, have a good thought in your head. Have a good intention in your head, a good desire. Whenever Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, ability to each and every one of us to do a good deed, what should we do first and foremost? We should have a good thought towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Straight away. Straight away. What thought? That Allah Ta'ala is giving me the tawfiq, the ability to do this deed. Then this means that Allah wants me to practice this because Allah wants to accept this deed from me. Aha. Positive thoughts. When you start to pray, when you go to salah, well, don't think, oh, am I going to be accepted? Will my prayer be accepted? What did I read, recited? Oh, it's not accepted. No, the pious predecessors have said, if Allah has given you the ability and opportunity to practice a good deed, if once Allah Ta'ala has allowed you to say Subhanallah once, then straight away have a positive thought that if Allah has given me the ability and opportunity to say Subhanallah, then obviously Allah wants to accept that deed from me. Obviously, Allah, can it be that Allah tells you to say Subhanallah because He wants to reject it? Has this ever happened? Have you ever given a gift to someone because you want him to throw it back in your face? Of course not. So Allah has definitely allowed us to do deeds because He wants to accept our deeds. Aha. So then, never will we lack hope and desire for any deed. Because I prayed salah today, yeah, inshallah, Allah has accepted it. Because He made me do the salah. I've done dhikr, Allah is going to accept it. Shaitan will say, no, your dhikr is weak. But I say, no, it's accepted. Allah gave me the tawfiq to waver my lips and recite this kalama. So obviously Allah will accept it from me. Have positive thoughts, positive hopes, have total hope. When we sit down, Allah has given us dhikr. We sat us here today in this assembly, and Allah is going to accept it. And the meaning of acceptance of dhikr is forgiveness. Inshallah, recite the durood sharif.